The Gemara, excuse me, on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. We'll start again the discussion of Shemen and Mishcha. I'm a Fatemet Hashemen. Tana Rabbanim, Fatemet Hashemen, Lomobo, Olomosro, or unclear what the Gersa is. Maybe Lomobo, Olomosro, Litzibor, Potter. Lasoa Chayev, right? So Fatemet Hashemen, one of the Krisos in the Mishnah. If you do it for learning, or in order to hand over to the tzibur, then you're potter. If you do it in order to shmir on yourself, then you're chayav. Vasach mimenu potter v'shein chayav and el al sticha shemen mishcha she'osa Moshe bilvad. But if you make your own shemen mishcha and you anoint yourself, you're potter because even the chiv mefatim is only for the shemen mishcha that we make ourselves. The chiv of sach is only for the shemen mishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu made. As it says, Ishri Kach Kermohu Vasher Yitain Mimenu Alzar, Benichrat Miyamav, only Mimenu, only if someone, Yirkach Kermohu, if you make like it, you're Chayev. But if you, it's a shmearing, is only Asher Yitain Mimenu Alzar, not Kermohu, only Mimenu, only for Moshe Rabbeinu's himself. The, is there relevance to Moshe Rabbeinu's himself? So the Gemara is going to say a little later, that we've seen, that a miracle happened with the Shemen HaMishcha, right? That even though we would think that Moshe Rabbeinu might have gotten used up during the Shivat Yimei Miluim, and even if not, we would think it would have gotten used up over the generations. And even if not, we would think at least something would happen to it over the generations, meaning how long can a bottle of oil survive even if you don't use it up? Right? Do we have any bottles of oil from, what would it be, 3,300 years ago, whatever it works out? I don't think so. There's are a lot of drops in the bottle, but, you know, it's hard to be nizer, and also there is hazoyos, it says in the Chumash. When you sprinkle already, you have to use a decent amount in order for it to get to where you're going. So you have to work out the math. But in any case, it's clearly a miracle that it would survive for thousands and thousands of years. That's against the Derech HaTeva, that the bottle of oil could last so long. And the Gemara says, no problem, a miracle happened, and Moshe Rabbeinu's oil lasted forever. The Rambam even paskins this. In the first parak of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, the Rambam, it's not his usual derech to paskin miracles, right? Bekoshi, he philosophically grapples with how miracles happen in the Mor Nevuchim. But Lahalacha, he doesn't like to paskin miracles. As a matter of fact, all many Rishonim write, Lahalacha, we don't like to paskin miracles. Because the Torah was given to be fulfilled by Piderech HaTeva. And the miracles are Hashem's business. The miracles shouldn't be part of the Halachos. But nonetheless, in this case, the Rambam paskins that a miracle happened, and something somewhat miraculous. Morty points out, it's not technically a miracle. You could just use it up little by little and be very careful, and it could happen to not get broken or lost. But still, it's fairly miraculous that it lasted forever. Now, here, before we even get to the continuation of the Gemara, I pointed out there's a fundamental machloket here as to what do we make of these two facts? The two facts are A, the chiyuv of sach is only for the oil that Moshe Rabbeinu himself made. And B, the oil Moshe Rabbeinu himself made miraculously lasted through generations, meaning Hashem was matriach himself, kviyachol, to, even though he didn't make other things miraculously last, he made this miraculously last. So if you put two and two together, you reach a conclusion, which doesn't actually say anywhere in Shas, but is a reasonable conclusion, that most explicitly Tosfos reached in Masechet Nazir Daf Mem Zayin, then it must be halacha that Shemen HaMishcha is only valid, is only kosher, if it was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. Then everything makes sense. Why are you only chayiv for sach Shemen HaMishcha Moshe Rabbeinu made? You're only chayiv for sach kosher Shemen HaMishcha, not for being sach pasul Shemen HaMishcha. Why did a miracle have to happen that Moshe Rabbeinu's oil lasted forever? Well, because it's only kosher if it's made by Moshe Rabbeinu, so what are you going to have in the future if it's only kosher made by Moshe Rabbeinu? So Hashem had to do a miracle to make sure that it would last forever. That's the clear assumption of Tosfos and Nazir, and most Achronim, that Shemen HaMishcha was only kosher if it's made by Moshe Rabbeinu. Mehechi Tesi, this is what we left off with. How do we know that it's only kosher if it was made by Moshe Rabbeinu? So Tosfos and Nazir says, it says Shema Mishas Chodesh Yezeh. Li the Dor Seichen, Zev Velo Acher, Zev is always going to be Yud. Only this is Shemana Mishka, anything made in other generations is not Shemana Mishka. And I like, me wanting to do the Orcha Shulchan HaAsid, had a different deep in the Pasuk. He says, the Pasuk says, V'yata kach lecha b'samim rosh. It doesn't say like in Ketores, kach lecha samim. It says, V'yata kach lecha, and you do it, the deep being, you can do it, but no one else can do it. So either from the word Zev or from the word V'yata, we darshin, that's the mainstream opinion, that only Moshe Rabbeinu can make Shemana Mishka and not anyone else. However, that's not universally agreed upon. I don't know if anyone got a chance to, I don't know if I suggested it, that you could even look further in this little passage of Rabbi Michal Fishel Perlau on the Sefer Mitzvah of Tzadi going, that I Xerox on the Makor sheet. But he is exceedingly convinced that Tosos in Nazir is wrong. He is very convinced that it's not true. That really anyone can make Shemana Mishka. Why are you only chai if you were sach Shemana Mishka Moshe Rabbeinu? Gzeres HaKasov. Anyone can make Shemana Mishka, but Moshe Shemana Mishka is holier than yours and my Shemana Mishka. So only chai of kari is for being sach Moshe Rabbeinu Shemana Mishka. Why was there a miracle of Moshe Rabbeinu's last forever again? This is all higher Madrega. There's higher Madrega Shemana Mishka, and there's kosher Shemana Mishka. So you're right. Al pi halacha, Hashem made a miracle on the higher Madrega Shemana Mishka with the Kedusha Moshe Rabbeinu. Lasted forever. And you're only chai if you're sach the higher Madrega Shemana Mishka Moshe Rabbeinu. But, halachically, if you need kosher Shemana Mishka, anyone can make kosher Shemana HaMishka throughout the generations. Tomorrow we could go to Machon HaMikdash and make kosher Shemana Mishka throughout the generations. He's convinced the Rambam's not so clear. We'll get to it in a second. He's convinced the Rambam disagrees with Tosos. He's convinced Pshat and the Gemara is against Tosos, and then he brings all kinds of diukim that really you're allowed to make it throughout the generations. What was Tosos' biggest proof? Tosos' biggest proof was from the Gemara on Amud Beis. The Gemara tells us on Amud Beis that Yoshiyahu Melech was gonez the Shemana Mishka. Therefore, after the time of Yoshiyahu Melech, right? Yoshiyahu Melech was close to the end of Bayis Rishon. For the end of Bayis Rishon and all of Bayis Sheni, there is no more Shemana Mishka. That's why, if you look in the Mishnayos and Horius and other places, right, there are two madrigas of Kohen Gadol. There is a Kohen Gadol Nimshach B'Shem Mishka, and a Kohen Gadol, Kohen Mashuach, as they call him, and a Kohen Meruba Begadim, who was only sanctified by wearing the 8 Begadim instead of the 4 Begadim. From the time of Yoshio and on, the Kohen was no longer had Shem Mishka. He was only sanctified by wearing the 8 Begadim. And the Mishnayos and Horius, if I recall correctly, I think it's Mishnayos and Horius. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Discuss what's the difference between a Kohen Mashuach and a Kohen Meruba Begadim, and in the end, they have almost the same halachos, except for Karbanos Chatas. So, the Tosos asks in Nazir, how come they didn't just make new Shemana Mishka after the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech? Why not just make new Shemana Mishka? So, So he says it must be that you can't make a new Shemana Mishka. Like in Bayesheni, why didn't Ezra Nehemiah make a new Shemana Mishka? Or the Malchi Chashmonaim, or whoever, Anshi Gezev Dola, there are hundreds of years. Why didn't they make a new Shemana Mishka? Must be that you can't make a new Shemana Mishka. It's Moshe's or nothing. The Rabbi Rochel Fischel Perlau says that's not necessarily good proof. You could say, why didn't they make new Shemana Mishka in Bayis Sheni? Because there was a Dakana Drabon of Yoshiyahu HaMelech to put away the Shemana Mishka. Included in Yoshiyahu HaMelech's Dakana was to put away Shemana Mishka and not to make a new one. What's the point of putting it away if you're going to make a new one? So you could say that, and even though that's against the Torah, the mitzvah saying the Torah makes Shemana Mishka, we know Yesh Koch B'Yad Chacham Lakar Darbina Torah B'Shev Yal Taseh. Midrabanan, they could uproot something from the Torah passively, right? Like they tell us not to blow shofar on Shabbos for Hashanah, or not to shake a lulav on Shabbos of the first day of Sukkot, etc. or not to put tzitzis on linen begadim, etc. So, Yoshi HaMelech made a takana that you shouldn't make new Shemin HaMeshcha, because he had his reasons. Obviously, he had his reasons. Maybe we'll get to them later today. So it's not necessarily such a good proof. Why didn't they make new ones? Not because there's no such thing as new Shemin HaMeshcha, because the takana of Rabbanan not to make new Shemin HaMeshcha. The Rav and the footnote in the Shiurim here suggest a more... this is not, perhaps, his... suggest another more creative idea. He says, it could be that once Yoshio was gones the Aron, confiscated the Aron Kodesh, there was no need for Shemin HaMeshcha, because the Kedusha of anointing the Shemin HaMeshcha is only appropriate when you have the Kedusha of the Aron. If you have Kedusha of the Aron and you want the Kohen Gadol to be able to serve in front of that Aron, so you need to give him the Kedusha of Shemin HaMeshcha. Maybe there's no mitzvah of Shemin HaMeshcha when there's no Aron, because if the Mikdash itself doesn't have that level of Kedusha, there's no mitzvah to give the Kohen Gadol a higher level of Kedusha than the Mikdash. So we have two possibilities. The Rav wasn't saying it to, he was just saying it a side point, not to answer this question. But the question is, why didn't they ever make new Shemin HaMeshcha in history? So most Rishonim Achronim say this is a proof that there's no such thing as new Shemin HaMeshcha. It's only Moshe's or nothing. Moshe or worthless. However, Yeruchim Pershul Perlo says Takanah Drabanan not to. And the Rav suggests that maybe there's no mitzvah of Shemin HaMeshcha when there's no Aron, and that's why they didn't make it after the time Yoshio HaMelech, so you could get out of that proof.
Why does one necessarily have to say it's against the Torah not to make more? If according to the Ram, why the mitzvah was not to make it, but to have it, not necessarily that you have to use it, but the mitzvah of the Torah is that you have, you're keeping the Shemin HaMeshcha, and if you have it, Gunus, that they hold also.
Okay, no, because we're now working according to the assumption of Rabbi Yochanan Shel Perlau that the Ram holds is also mitzvah to make it in every generation. That's his assumption. You're working for the Brisker Rub's assumption, perhaps. Okay, so
The Brisker says, like, if he does lasuch, then chayav. Why is he chayav if there's no possibility at all of making any Shemin HaMeshcha? Why even if it's lasuch?
Because ish asher yukach kamohu. Kamohu doesn't mean it is Shemin HaMeshcha. Kamohu means it's like Shemin HaMeshcha. It's a special insert to make something like Shemin HaMeshcha. That's what the Torah says. It's usher a counterfeit. Why is it usher a counterfeit $100 bill? It's not a real $100 bill. The answer is there are certain things that usher a counterfeit. Right? They'll throw you in jail for counterfeiting a $100 bill. If you're a big lamed in yeshiva bach and you say, I didn't counterfeit a $100 bill because it's not actually a $100 bill because it wasn't issued by the Federal Reserve. Therefore, I just printed a picture. They'll throw you in jail anyways. They say, we know, but it's usher to counterfeit. We didn't say it's usher to print new money. We said it's usher to counterfeit. So here also it's usher to counterfeit. So we have Tosfos. And most Achronim say, after Moshe Rabbeinu, say that there is no such thing. Yes, it's an issue of counterfeiting, but it's not called Shemin HaMeshcha. And then we have Rav Yerachim Fishel Perlau in the Beyer Al Sefer HaMitzvos, Rav Sadigon, who says that it is perfectly kosher. Why didn't they ever do it? So you have to say either his answer or the answer based on the Rav, which is a chiddush that to tie that in, but not such a chiddush. We know the Gemara has a gzeirah shavah between Shemin HaMeshcha and the Aron. So it's not so crazy. So then, why didn't they ever do it? So either Rabbi Rechon Fershon Perlau says it's a takana de rabbanan of Yoshiyahu, or you could say, based on the Rav, that the mitzvah is only b'makom aron. Maybe based on the gzeira shavanam and beis that's compared to the aron. Now, the Brisker Rav and the Chayim and Aleph has a fascinating in-between shita. What's the in-between shita of the Brisker Rav about Shemin HaMeshcha after the time of Moshe Rabbeinu? Thought it was an in-between shita. The Rambam, he says, is a little unclear. On the one hand, the Rambam says, a mitzvah say to make Shemin HaMeshcha. Sounds like it's always a mitzvah say to make Shemin HaMeshcha. On the other hand, and he never says, you can't make your own Shemin HaMeshcha. He just says that, and he says, sorry, Kacha asahu Moshe Rabbeinu. This is how Moshe did it. He says this is how Moshe did it, not how we do it. On the other hand, he didn't say it has to be Moshe Rabbeinu. He just says this is how Moshe did it. So the Rambam's formulation is somewhat unclear. On the one hand, he focuses on Moshe Rabbeinu, but he doesn't say it has to be Moshe Rabbeinu. And likewise, when he talks about the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, you're only chayav for mimenu, for the one that Moshe made. You're only chayav Moshe, and no one ever made another one except for Moshe. He didn't say you can't, but on the other hand, he's not just telling us historical tidbits. He said no one ever did. So the Brisker Rav has what's almost a perfect shot in the Rambam. What, to the best of his knowledge, is a perfect shot in the Rambam. Says the Brisker Rav that, or, well, we'll have to see. Depends on your shita in Mechkar. The Brisker Rav says, the Rambam's funny. He talks about Moshe, he talks about the uniqueness of Moshe, but he doesn't say it has to be Moshe. So what's shot? So he says the Rambam is in-between shita, which is a Brisker in-between shita. What's the Rambam shita? The mitzvah, theoretically, is that you can always make Shemana Mishka through the generations. However, practically you can't. Why not? So he just throws in one fact, or one halacha, rather. It's only a mitzvah to make Shemana Mishka. You can only make Shemana Mishka if you run out of the previous Shemana Mishka. If you would have run out of the previous Shemana Mishka, there would be a mitzvah to make Shemana Mishka. But since it's a miracle that it's implied in the Torah that you'll never run out of Moshe Rabbeinu Shemana Mishka, therefore, even though theoretically you can make Shemana Mishka L'doros, practically you can't, because you never run out of Moshe Rabbeinu Shemana Mishka. So this is what the Brisker Rav explains. In the Das Rambam, he says, theoretically, you can make Shemen HaMishcha if the old Shemen runs out. But, and this is a big condition, but it will never run out. And therefore, you can't actually make Shemen HaMishcha. That's why the Rambam makes it sound like theoretically there's an Indian of making Shemen HaMishcha eternally. However, practically, as the Rambam says, as a halacha, not as a tidbit, no one ever made any, and no one ever will make any, because Moshe Rabbeinu's lasts forever. And what about nowadays? What do you mean it lasts forever? We don't have it anymore. Go to Bechor Mikdash, they don't have Moshe Rabbeinu Shemen HaMishcha. The answer is Yoshua Mel Ginozo. Ginozo means not that he threw it in the trash. Ginozo means he put it someplace where when it's necessary, it'll be available to us, and therefore, it's like in the safe deposit box waiting for it, for us to need it. And even, why didn't they make new ones in the days of Aisheni? Because they knew that Yoshua Melech hid away Moshe's, and it was right there when Hashem wanted them to find it, or when Hashem told them to use it, they would use it. That's the Brisker Rav Shvat in the Rambam. What is the Brisker Rav Shvat in the Rambam based on? It's based on where do we get this idea that you're only allowed to make new ones if you use up the old ones? So he tells us it's based on the Lashon of the Rambam and Perushim Mishnayis and Menachos. What does it say in the Rambam, Perushim Mishnayis and Menachos? I'm reading from the Brisker Rav, who's just copying over what's printed in the Gemara. He says that... one second. First, he quotes the Rambam Pirush of Mishnayis here, brings down a Mesorah that will miraculously all be there forever. It'll last forever. And the Pirush of Mishnayis Menachos says, and I'm reading it to you, Lefisha kol maskimim she'ein osim shemen ha-mishcha ad she'yich le'masha asa Moshe Rabbeinu ad kan. Everyone agrees you can't make new shemen ha-mishcha until we use up what Moshe Rabbeinu made. So put two and two together. You can't make new shemen ha-mishcha until you use up Moshe's, but we'll never use up Moshe's. Therefore, theoretically, there's a mitzvah of shemen ha-mishcha, but practically, there is not a mitzvah of Shemen HaMishcha. That's what the Brisker Rav says, and it's very, very meduyik in the Ramban, except for someone who came and did a little bit of party pooping here, as the Kederach HaChokrim, Rav Kafach. Rav Kafach found the... Now, again, there's no guarantee. Just because Rav Kafach is a more scholarly edition, whatever, it doesn't always mean that he's automatically right and everyone else is automatically wrong. But he found in the Ksav Yad of the Perush Mishnayos, right? We have like what's printed in the Brisker Rebbe uses, what's printed in the Vilna Shas. He found the Ksav Yad of the Perush Mishnayos in Menachos that the Rambam actually said a little differently. He translated from the Arabic. He published the Arabic also. You should know, you could buy, I don't think you could buy it anymore, but when it was in print, you could buy two versions of Rav Kafach's Perush HaMishnah of the Rambam, the three-volume version from Masada Rav Kook that we have in the Beis Medrash that everyone has at home, that's just the Hebrew. You could also buy the six-volume version by Masada Rav Kook that has one column Arabic, one column Hebrew, so if you speak Arabic, you could check his translation. And it's really, right, so it's there from the Arabic, Perush HaMishnah. Like everything written by the Rambam, except for the Mishnah Torah, was written in Arabic. And what it says in the Arabic, Sav Yad of the Perush HaMishnayos, is a very different version.
Right, Hakol Modim.
Either Ibn Tibon mistranslated, or, right, or you know, maybe we corrupted his translation. So he says that, Lefish Hakol Modim, She'ein Osim Shemen HaMishcha, Im Nedar Oso She'asa Moshe. Here he says the opposite. In his Rav Kafach's version, he says everyone agrees you can't make new Shemen HaMishcha, not until, but if, even if the Shemen HaMishcha that Moshe made disappears, you still can't make new Shemen HaMishcha. So that's exactly the opposite. That's the same as Tosfos Nazir. Even if we run out of Moshe Shemen HaMishcha, you can't make new ones. So this depends whose girsa you have. So this is the Perush HaMishnah in Menachos. Girsat HaDefus, okay, translation of Ibn Tibon, or at least our Girsa of Ibn Tibon's translation. This is the Rambam Perush HaMishnah in Menachos Mahaduras HaRav. Kafach is a very different version. That's the exact same thing as Tosfos and Nazir. If you then go back to Mishnah Torah, what would you say? You would say that, you'd have to do some explaining, which we'll do in a minute or two. You'd have to explain, if you can't make new Shemen HaMishcha, why do you say it's a mitzvah to make Shemen HaMishcha? Let us come back to that in a moment. So the Maisa, according to the version of the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayos Menachos, in Rav Kafach, it's clear he holds like Tosfos and Nazir and most Achronim. According to the version in Perush HaMishnayos Menachos, in the printed Perush HaMishnayos Menachos, the translation of Tivon, if that's true, then the Brisker Rav is correct that the Rambam has a Brisker in between Shita, and Rav Kafach Perlau has the simple Shita, which is just that you can always make Shemen HaMishcha. And it was just happened to be that Moshe's lasted forever just for added Ruchnius.
Is there enough for you that it's Asur or
that it's Mitzah? So let's see that in I'll address that in a moment, because perhaps yes. Now, let's just deal with the two problems. Keep in mind, the mainstream Shita is that there's no such thing as making new Shemen HaMishcha. That's the mainstream Shita, right? Now, the question is going to be, there are two main problems with that. We'll start with the easier, more technical problem, which is our Gemara. Says our Gemara, Im Asa, or which we start with? I'll start with the Gemara, fine. It says, if you made it, L'lamed L'mosro L'tzibur, then you're Pater. So lil lamed, first of all, what's the point of a lamed? If you can't ever make new Shemen HaMishcha, then what are you learning? Okay, that doesn't bother me. You could say, I'm learning chumash. I'm not learning practical halacha. I don't mean lil lamed, that you're putter. It doesn't mean you're learning practical halacha, how to do it in Machon HaMikdash when they rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. No, but it means I'm learning chumash. If an archaeologist would go and try to find things from chumash and discover exactly how things happen, that would be part of learning. So if I want to make the Shemen HaMishcha, I want to see how they made it. So I try it in order to see what they did in the Chumash. That's part of Talmud Torah. I'm learning Pshat and Chumash. Okay. But the most of the Tzibur is much more difficult. What do you hand it over to the Tzibur? The Gemara says the same thing by Ketores. If you make Ketores to give to the Tzibur, then you're Potter. That makes a lot of sense. The Tzibur needs Ketores. I'm making Ketores. I'm going to donate it to the Tzibur. Okay, well, without getting into the details, that makes a lot of sense. Of course, there's an Inyan to make Ketores to give to the Tzibur. They need to bring Karbanos. But what's the Inyan of making Shemen HaMishcha to give to the Tzibur? My Inyan giving Shemen HaMishcha to the Tzibur, the Tzibur doesn't want Shemen HaMishcha. The Tzibur has no use for Shemen HaMishcha because they can't do anything with it because it's possible. So what is the most for the Tzibur? So what are the big problems? The big problem or question one on the mainstream shita is, what is l'mosro l'tzibur? What's the point of l'mosro l'tzibur? So there are a few answers to this. One answer is. Tosin Nazar give two answers. I forget which is first, which is second. But I'll actually look up which is first, which is second. Toso said in Mesechus Nazir, the Mosul of Tzibur means, he has two pshatim. So he says, number one, Tosos in Nazir says it means Bimei Moshe. The Ptur of the Mosul of Tzibur was, if you were alive in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and you were making it to give to the Tzibur, that's when you're Pater. Doesn't mean nowadays. Nowadays, why would you Pater if you want to give to the Tzibur? That's not a good reason. It means Bimei Moshe. Okay, that's a bit dachuk, perhaps. That's what he says, it means Bimei Moshe. The second answer.
Even Bimei Moshe, they have no use for it. Only Moshe could make it.
Okay, so that's a great question. I guess you have to say you're going to give it to Moshe, and Moshe would make it Kaddish. Now again, what would Moshe, here you get to, you know, it's like, what do the people think the OU means? How does the rabbi bless it and make it kosher, right? Exactly, Tosos obviously is of the opinion that someone else could make it and give it to Moshe, and it'll still count
right.
As Moshe's Shemen HaMishcha. Yeah. So what does Moshe have to do for it to count as Moshe's Shemen HaMishcha? I mean, what's the Metzias? What I give it to Moshe, what makes it his Shemen HaMishcha, not my Shemen HaMishcha? I know, maybe as long as Moshe picks it up, maybe as long as he uses it once.
Makes me a shuliach.
Ah, that's the tricky part, right. If you need asiyas Moshe, then, or maybe it's a good question. You know, obviously, Tosfos has to be nidchak to say, A, this tour is only referring to 3,300 years ago. B, you don't need asiyas Moshe, it's enough to have a shimush of Moshe, or a possession of Moshe, a kinyan of Moshe. Or maybe Moshe told him to do it. Maybe that's easier. Maybe if you made it the shliach of Moshe, that's the Ptur. And then it's easier, because it is a CS Moshe. Maybe that's the easier.
Or we understood it as maybe like as a mikras, and therefore that it's a mikras in general.
Okay, that's what we said. Right, that's what we just said. So maybe say you were shliach of Moshe, fine.
But then you're not Moshe. Never is.
Okay. So you see how this gets a little dachuk to figure out, you know, it's a double dachak, right? One dachak is that it sounds like in the Torah Lidoros, it's only Torah 3,300 years ago. Second dachak is, where's the SES Moshe and where's the Masira? You have to make something up. Okay, second answer of Tosos, really the Girsa here. If you notice, the word O is in brackets.
Yes.
What does it mean if it's in brackets? Brackets means it was added to be the correct Girsa. So, again, when you're in fifth grade, they teach you brackets means read it, parentheses means skip it. Okay, by our age, we know brackets means someone wants you to read it, someone wants you to have the word O, but beforehand there wasn't the word O. And parentheses means someone wants you to delete this, but beforehand it wasn't deleted, right? We saw a few brackets. Brackets means Rashi wants you to erase it, but Rabbeinu Gershom had it. So likewise, the brackets means the Be'er Sheva told the printers to add this in, happened to be in this case. But if you would go back, the original printings of Shas and the manuscripts they were based on, it didn't have the word O. I can't promise if there were any manuscripts with the word O. If there weren't, I haven't done the research. But I bet it most manuscripts didn't have the word O. And then someone added it in. Now, why did they add it in? They added it in because it's clear that many of Yishonim had the Girsa O, but it's clear that many of Yishonim also didn't have the Girsa O. And the Shita Mekubetzes here in his first answer, the language is a little unclear in the Shita Mekubetzes, says it means Lilmo bo al manas l'mosur l'tzibur. He really, the Gersa, Lilmo bo l'mosur l'tzibur. And that is Tosos Nazir in his second answer, which equals the original Gersa in our Gemara. What was the original Gersa in our Gemara? Lilami bo l'mosur l'tzibur. What do you mean, l'lami v'lamosu l'tzibur? Maybe it meant, why are you giving over the tzibur? You weren't giving over the tzibur to use. You were giving over the tzibur l'matarat limud. You wanted to make muzion hamikdash. So you made the Shemen HaMishcha to give to the tzibur so that everyone could learn from it. Right? If you think about it right nowadays, clearly if someone was a You know, again, I don't know how it works in academia. Sometimes in academia, when you make a chiddush, you have to make sure that no one else can see your chiddush so that you get all the credit. But nowadays, if someone actually wanted to take something from the Chumash and do all kinds of experiments and do the archaeology and find all the ancient materials and try to figure out how they would have made it in those days and like do a whole thing making it himself, what should he do? He shouldn't just make it himself and then dismantle it or keep it in his own basement or in his own living room. He should put it on display so that the rabbim can come and learn Torah from it. He should put it in the, in the Israel Museum or the Muzeon HaSot HaMikra or the Machon HaMikdash or, I don't mean to purposely exclude any of the competition. Wherever it might be, everyone has their own Muzeon. He should put it someplace where everyone can learn from it. Right, so therefore he says, L'mosro L'tzibur doesn't mean to use it because they can't use it. It means L'mosro L'tzibur today, lilamed, in order to teach the tzibur about how to make shemen mishcha. Okay, so then it makes sense. It's not kosher. You're giving it to the tzibur for educational purposes.
Why bother teaching if you're never going to do it?
Ah, so the Gemara asked that once. The Gemara asked in, I think it's in Zvachim someplace. It asked, in what order did Moshe put the begadim on Aaron and his sons in Parshat Tzaveh or in Parshat Tzav, etc.? And the Gemara asks, l'may nafkamina? And the answer is, L'mizbar Krai, to explain the Pesachim. We want to know what the Pesachim meant. You ask, why do these people go out when they write the Dat Mikra, etc., and find all this archaeological stuff about things in the Chumash, but has no halach nafkamina? The answer is because we want to know what the Chumash means. That's also part of learning Torah, even if there's no halach nafkamina. So okay, there's no halach nafkamina. Let's say someone wanted to show you how to make something in the Mishkan. There's no halach nafkamina. Now we don't have a Mishkan. We have Beis HaMikdash from here, Yameinu. Okay, but it's still L'mizbar Krai, to explain the Pesachim. Sometimes the Gemara says, you don't need Hilchot Tal Mashiach, you don't need halachas that don't apply nowadays, but the mainstream approach just means that you don't need to get into paskining who's right and who's wrong of something that doesn't apply nowadays, but to try to understand the best you can the shitas and try and clarify the truth the best you can, then that applies even to things that only apply when Mashiach comes, and even to things that don't even apply when Mashiach comes, it only applied historically to the time of the Chumash or the Nevi'im. Okay, so that's the second answer.
The meaning between the two answers, according to Tosus, is whether Machon HaMikdash is doing something that's acceptable halakhically or
no, because either way, there's a heter of Lelamed. So either way, they're okay.
But if the Lelamed is really only in order to affect something in the time of Moshe and not after, then it, according to the first answer of Tosus and Nazir, then there's no justification of Machon HaMikdash.
No. The first answer to Tosfos says, again, l'lamid and l'mosro l'tzibur are two separate things. Learning is good, and giving it to the tzibur in time of Moshe is good. But learning is always good. Second answer says, learning to teach the tzibur is always good. They both agree learning is always good. Okay, the Shidduch Betzer has a third answer. If you, Shidduch Betzer says, now again, it's a little funny reading the Shidduch Betzer. First says, amanas l'mosro l'tzibur. What does that mean? It means you're learning to give it to, Bo, amanas l'mosro l'tzibur, meaning amanas l'lami, bo, to teach with it, on condition to give it to the tzibur. That sounds like it's all one thing, which was the original girsa. And then he has our girsa, and he says, Sarat Iyun, Heicha meshkachas la shari lo nasi moshe ve'eloshim shem ha'mishcha, yesterday question tos to Nazir, shari kaim lo'asad lavo, how can you ever make new ones? You don't need it. V'tzarech lomar, afgat l'tzarech, maso l'mosro l'tzibur potter, even though you don't need it, you're still potter. That's the third answer, which is the Shita Mukubetzes, says, Afal Gav, Dein Tzorech, Im Asa'a, L'mosro L'tzibur, potter. Okay, even though the tzibur doesn't need it, but if you make it to give to the tzibur, you're still potter. It means the potter of L'mosro L'tzibur, even though the tzibur doesn't need it. Why would it be a p'tur of the Mosul Tzibur, even though the Tzibur doesn't need it? So you could explain this in one of two ways. He doesn't say, like, why is there a p'tur of the Mosul Tzibur? You could say, and here's Pastor Afrina, based on the grids, it would make a lot of sense. Theoretically, you could make Shemana Mishcha nowadays. It's just that you don't need it now. But theoretically, there could be such thing as Shemana Mishcha. Theoretically, they might need it. And therefore, since theoretically they might need it, it's not usher to give to them because even though they practically don't need it. But the simpler shot is, why? Maybe Al-Pi
the Griz, then theoretically they might need it, but I don't think that's the real shot. But Pashtus
is that it's just a Gzeiras HaKasev. The Gzeiras HaKasev is Los Asu Lachem. Don't make, now again, Lachem is a tricky Gzeiras HaKasev. It can be interpreted different ways, but maybe the way he's interpreting Gzeiras HaKasev is don't make it for your private use. The answer is private shit. The answer is privatization. Don't make private shem on a mishka. As long as you're doing it on behalf of Klal Yisrael, even if it's shtus and you made a mistake and you're doing it wrong and it's useless, it's not usher because you're not trying to have your own shem on a mishka. I mean, the isser isn't to make improper shem on a mishka. The isser is to make private shem on a mishka. No one has the right to their own religion with their own shem on a mishka. No one. Okay, that's not quite what he says yet. I hear that, maybe. Or maybe, will you allow me to just leave like a footnote for a moment? Like the Rambam? I'll say like the Rambam, which I know we haven't explained yet, but we will in a moment. But I think the pshat is, it's just the gzeiras hakasav that the iser is private shemen ha-mishcha, not improper shem and hamishcha. That's a bit of a chiddush. We would think the answer is don't make shem and hamishcha. That's not for the reason the Torah said. Maybe the chiddush you get says no. It's shtus. You're a fool for making shem and hamishcha different than the Torah said, perhaps. But you're not chayav kares for doing something wrong. You're chayav kares for thinking you have private bialus over something that belongs to Klal Yisrael. Therefore, if you make private shem and hamishcha your chayav kares, if you're giving it to Klal Yisrael, even though they don't need it and you're a fool and they have no use for it and it's shtus, that's not a terrible crime because you're just being a mistaken public servant, not trying to usurp religion for your own ends. Okay, maybe that's shot, although I can't exclude what Jonathan said. Let's just point out, the Rambam has a big chiddush. What's the big chiddush of the Rambam? How does the Rambam pass in this Gemara to Lamed Ola Mosul with Tzibur? What does the Rambam change when he brings it down? He doesn't say Mosul with Tzibur, he says Mosul Achirim. Meaning, even to a yachid, all the Achronim point out, it's sort of obvious that why would the Rambam change the Mosul with Tzibur? So, number four, says the Rambam, Litzibur Lavdavka. There is no toelos for the Tzibur. Why do you fought for giving to the Tzibur? It doesn't help to give to the Tzibur, and he didn't like any of the other answers. So the Rambam had no choice. You have something that doesn't make sense. So, you have to say it really was Lav Davka. And something else that does make sense. What does make sense? The Moser Lav Davka, the real Kavana is Limosro Lacherim Potter. Really, it's not the Tzibur. The Tzibur has no more use for it than Yomo. Really, the point is that I didn't make it for myself. Oh, what's the Torah of not making it for myself? So here, you could have taken it different ways, but if you look at the Lush on the Rambam, Medayik and the Rambam, he says, Ha'osa Shem and HaMishka, Kamai says, HaMishka, Ha'zev, Lo'osef, Lo'gorap, Ha'mezich, Ha'yikors, V'shog, Me'vichatos, Kvua, Shenemar, Asher Yikach, Kamov, Hu, Shiyas, Osa, Lehi, Mashek, Bo, only if you make it, Kedei, Lasoch. Meaning, there's an excluded middle here. It says, if you make L'lam, and L'osol, Tzibur, Potter, Lasoch is Chayiv. What about in between? What if it's neither L'mosol, Tzibur, or L'lami, or Lasoch? So the Rambam says, really, the end is Dafka, the beginning is Lav Dafka. Really, lasuch is chayiv. Anytime you don't plan to anoint yourself, you are potter. What might you do with it? You might give it to someone else. Or you might do something else other than anointing. Lelamed is not anointing. The most let's see is give it to someone else. But avol basol is lamed ulachayrim a potter. So it's lamed avol lamosul letzibur. It just means you're not planning to anoint yourself with it. Why? Rak b'mefatim almanas li moshechbo or lasuchbo in lashon of the Gemara. You're only chayev if you make it with the intention to anoint yourself. If you make it with any other intention, of tzibur lav davka. And how did the Rambam know this? So the Rambam knew this because tzibur couldn't be davka. Because what's the point of giving to the tzibur? Remember, the Kafach translation of the Arabic Saviyat of Perush Mishnayis says even after Moshe Rabbeinu's oil is gone, you can't make a new one. It doesn't count. So what's the point of giving it to the tzibur? Lamdav, it just means you're not going to anoint yourself with it. You can do anything else in the world with it. And therefore, you are potter. That's the big finish of the Rambam. Where does the Rambam get this from? Mehechi Tesi. So, the Gemara says, okay, let's go on in let's go on in the Gemara a little. Says the Gemara, before we get back to this, says the Gemara, how do we know? It says matkunto and matkunta and by the isser of making fake Torahs or making your own Torahs, but the isser of making your own shem and hamishcha. Don't make for yourself is asher, but to give to the tzibur is potter. Gavi shem and nami lamosul tzibur potter. So just like the mosul tzibur is potter by Torahs, it's potter by shem and hamishcha. Then they just ask technically, but they had their Torahs in the name of Shem and Hashem Kifat Mechetchen Potter, Af Torahs Kinam Kifat Mechetchen Potter. Why not go back and learn the Zereshem the other way? Zereshems go both ways. Just like Shem and Mishnah, you potter if you did it half the amounts, half recipe. Likewise, Ketoris, you potter if you do a half recipe. Amo Amarov, Ketoris, Shem and Lachatzon Chayev. Why does Rabbi say you're Chayev for a half recipe of Ketoris? Shem and Shem and Lachatzon Potter, but you're potter for a half recipe of Shem and Mishnah. Amo Lachrov, Gabi Shem and Ksiv Maskun Tolos Asu Kamohu, Kamohu da Asher Ochet, your Shaper Dami. But Victorious Dixib, Victorious Shir Taseh, Kol Asiya Dictores, Efshur Demakir Pras, Shakras, Ras, Bain, Ha'arbayim. He says, no, because that's what we're doing in the Psukim. By Shemin, which says, Kamohu, only the exact same amount. But by Ktores, not only doesn't it say Kamohu, it says, Victorious Asher Taseh, but not Kamohu Tasulachem, any Ktores you make. And we know you can make a smaller amount of Ktores. You can make an amount of Torahs that's just enough to bring half a mun in the morning, half a mun of Bein Harbayim. This is, it's going to be a little tricky in that vav, but this is what we paskin. We paskin that it's valid, it's halachically valid, if in the people in the Beis HaMikdash, they make only one day's worth of Torahs. That's not how they usually make it. People make Torahs ketzad, they make a year's worth. But it's valid to make a day's worth, so therefore it's been doing from the psukim that Torahs, whatever's valid, even a small amount, you're chayav karis for counterfeiting. Shemin HaMishnah, you only chayav karis for counterfeiting the entire amount. Okay, but we learned from Ktoris. What does it say by Ktoris? So here it gets very, we have to get into a bit of a side point, but let's look what the Rambam says by Ktoris. What does the Rambam say about counterfeiting Ktoris? So the Rambam, Perik Aleph is Shemin HaMishchah, Perik Beis is Ktoris, and the Rambam says that he's very clear. He says, Ha'osek Ktoris kidei lo ha'riach ba is chayiv karis alas yasa. You only chai if you make Torahs in order to smell it. Right? And then he continues, he points out, even if you only make a little, as we saw, asa l'slambo l'mosho l'tzibur, potter, but if you make it to learn or to give to the tzibur, you are potter. Etc. Lochiva tor kares, why are you potter l'mosho l'tzibur? Why are you potter for making Torahs to give to the tzibur? Or to learn? Lochiva tor kares elo l'osa b'matkum tala riachba. Because the Torah only is mechayiv karis if you make this recipe lahariach. That's Klei HaMikdash, Perek Beis, Halacha, Yod Aleph. So it's pretty clear. In Ketores, the Torah is only lahariach ba. So if you have a Gzir Shav, Hashem and Mishnah from Ketores, in Ketores, the Torah is only lahariach ba, not for other purposes. So in Hashem and Mishnah, the Chiyuv is only lasuch ba, or mimashik ba, and not for other purposes. Why? Because of Gzir Shava. Shem and Hamishcha from Ketores, and the Ptur in the Ketores is learned from Lariachba. So just like Ketores, only if you plan to smell it, any other purpose you're potter. Likewise, Shem and Hamishcha, only if you plan to smear it on yourself for any other purpose you are potter, and therefore for the Rambam it is no problem. Okay, great question. I give you one of two answers. I think if I'm allowed to argue on the Rav. The Rav said something very radical here. He used a principle called Dominava Oki Ba'asra. If you learn X from Y, but the circumstances of X are a little different, you could take the idea of Y, extend it to X, but make it a different idea based on the context of X. It's called Don Mila, learn from there, but Okima Asra. But adjust it to the context over here, to the place you're So the Rav said, actually, by Ketores, the Ketores only Moshe Letzivor. But by Shemana Mishcha, you couldn't learn a Ketores and Moshe Letzivor, because the Tzivor doesn't want need it. So by Shemana Mishcha, you have to change the Ketores into the Moshe L'Achirim. That's what the Rav says, and Medayik in the Lashon of the Rambam. However, I think that's not pshat in the Rambam. I think that's not pshat in the Rambam. The Rav said something totally different, right? What did the Rav say? The Rav said, okay, because by Ketores, Limos, there's a Ptur of Limosra Letzibur. We then, it's learned to Shemen HaMishcha, but through the magic of Don Mina, the Oki, the Asra, learn to Shemen HaMishcha, there's a Ptur of Limosro La'achirim, because Sibor doesn't need it. That's what the Rav said, which is very radical, because it usually Domino Voki the Asra means same basic idea, just slight different circumstances. Here it is really changing the idea. By Ketores, the Ptur is the gift of the Tzibur. Why? Because it's a big mitzvah. You're helping the Tzibur have karbonos. Since we learn a Gzeres Shavah to Shemana Mishcha, but yet the Tzibur doesn't need it, so it must be a different Ptur to give to someone else and not keep for yourself. Right? The Ketores, the problem is having it outside the context of the proper avodah. But the Domino Voki the Asra, by Shemana Mishcha, the problem is having yourself be better than everyone else. But as long as you give it to someone else, that's okay. That's the Rav's shot. I don't think the Rav's shot is Meduyik in the Rambam, because if you look at the Rambam in Ketores, he doesn't. The Rav is based on Lachem. The Rambam doesn't darshan Lachem. The Rambam darshans Lahariach Ba. And the Rambam says explicitly, I'll read you again from Hilchas Ketores, meaning, play makes your favorite base. Halachiyot. Also, l'slami bo l'mosu l'tzibur potter, heiriach bo v'lo'asaya, eno chayiv kareis, aladin v'tun kol nenem v'nehekdish, lo'chiva torah kareis, elo lo'osev v'maskunta l'ariach ba. What does he say? He says, if you make it l'slami l'mosu l'tzibur potter, and if you don't make it, but you just smell it, your potter, because you're only chayiv if you make it in order to smell it. So that's pretty clear why you potter l'slami l'mosu l'tzibur, because you're only chayiv l'ariach ba. So I think shot in the Rambam is that Rambam has a totally different approach than our Gemara. Are then at least the simple shot in our Gemara. That the Rambam, the Rav is based on, the Iker is Lachem. Lachem means for the Tzibur it's okay. But there's no need of Tzibur here, so it must be for someone else it's okay. The simple shot in the Gemara is based of the Rambam, and the other Akronim say, it's based on L'Ariachba. No, you're only Chayiv Ketores if you make it for smelling. So likewise, you're only Chayiv Shemen HaMishcha if you make it to shmir on yourself. And it doesn't say you're chayiv ketores if you make it for anyone to smell, just for you to smell. Okay, that's the slight chiddush the Rambam adds. Here, only for you to shmir on yourself. Okay, two different ways of reading the Rambam. Oh, according to me. It's not just me. This is how most of us understand the Rambam. Why does the Rambam by ketores say the most for the tzibur, and by shemen HaMishcha say the most for the achirim? You have to say he's just saying the common case. By ketores, someone might be most for the tzibur. That could be a common case. But by shemen HaMishcha, you might be most for the tzibur, so a common case might be your most for the achirim. Okay. You have to figure out which diuk you want to stick with and which diuk you want to levater. I will leave you to make your own judgment call. You could clearly take the Rav's judgment call.
But do you think he's changing the girsa?
So this brings up a famous kasha, the kasha of the Be'er Sheva and Arsugya. I can go with the Be'er Sheva and Arsugya. He just asked the kasha, and he doesn't say anything. The kasha of the Be'er Sheva and Arsugya is that there's a stira between our Gemara and Rashi. Although, it's not just our Gemara and Rashi. It's just between our Gemara and Rashi and the Rambam. Time to put Rashi and Rambam together, it already seems to make a pattern. Meaning, Rashi didn't read the Rambam. The Rambam didn't read Rashi. That's clear historically. They both came up with the same idea. Okay, there must have been some source. Question is, what is the Ptur? Ma makor haptur de lelame bo ulermosro Litzibur. What's the source of that Ptur? Our Gemara, at least discussing Moshe Litzibur, doesn't explicitly say Lamed Bo, but at least in Moshe Litzibur, the Gemara in Krisos Daf Heyam and Aleph says Lachem. But Rashi ala Torah and the Rampan say L'Ariach Ba. Okay, both these are talking about Ketores, not Shemana Mishcha. Everyone agrees, Shem and Mishcha, you get a Gzeirah Shavah from Ketores, right? Doesn't say Lachem HaShem and Mishcha, doesn't say L'Arich HaShem and Mishcha, that's Gzeirah Shavah. But start with Ketores. So Rashi says, L'Arich Ba, Rashi and Chumash. And everyone asks, it's against our Gemara. Our Gemara says Lachem. Rashi says, but the Muslim Tzibur is Pater, because L'Arich Ba. It's not L'Arich Ba. What about Lachem? And the Rambam says L'Arich Ba. Because the Rambam says it's only Chayif, it's L'Arich Ba. And the line before the Halacha says, Isha Shir Sekamod L'Arich Ba V'Nismach V'Nichras Me'amav. And he says, Ela K'dei L'Arich Ba. He keeps focusing on K'dei L'Arich Ba. He mentions the pasuk, but he doesn't darshan the lachem. Meaning, you're right. He brings the whole pasuk which has the word lachem and lahariach ba. The fact he brings the pasuk is irrelevant. But besides bringing the pasuk, what does he say? So before he brings the pasuk, he says ha'osek toras menachlar sorry the fear kedei lahariach ba. After he brings the pasuk, he says lochiva torakars el lasos maskunta kedei lahariach ba. The introduction and close of this paragraph in the Rambam is lahariach ba. He never repeats Lachem or says anything about Lachem. So I think it's pretty clear to me, at least, that when the Rambam said, when the Rambam brought this pasuk, he had in mind Rashi's way of darshaning it, which is Lahariach Ba, and not Lachem. I think if you disagree, you're definitely Yadcha al HaTachtona. I'm not saying impossible.
No, even if he does it for someone else.
That that's the difference between me and the Rav, right? And not me. That's the difference between most Achronim and the Rav. You're with the Rav here. I hear that. And I can leave that as an unresolved question for now. I'll leave that as an unresolved question. Now, this of course brings up the famous Stira. Is it L'Hariach Ba or is it Lachem? What's Pshat? And here we have we have different ways of learning this. Could it be, it's a little hard to imagine that Rashi and the Rambam had a different gears in our Gemara. We don't seem to have any hints of a, we don't seem to have any hints of a different Gersa. So what's Pshat? So here we have a fundamental machlokes as to what to do with this Rashi and the Rambam, how to be Miyashiv Lachem and L'Hariach Ba. So, how do we resolve this stira? Again, answers to the stira. So the Orach Chaim, and the Rav also suggests at some point, has one very clever answer. Says the Orach Chaim, there are two different dinim. There's a din of Lachem, and a din of L'Hariach Ba. What's the difference? This is the Orach Chaim on Chumash says that there are two dinim. When it says lachem, that's regarding the lav, lo sasu lachem. When it says lahariach ba, that's regarding the karis. Lahariach ba b'nechrat mi'amav. It says there's two different dinim. There's the lav and the karis. The karis is only lahariach ba. You only chayiv karis lahariach ba. You're chayav kares only lahariach ba. Okay, but that's as far as the kares. Why does our Gemara not mention that drasha? Because our Gemara is not only discussing the kares. Our Gemara also wants to discuss the lav. Even not lahariach ba is a lav. Yesekamu lahariach ba v'nechras me'amav. But it's still a lav. The lav is even Shelo al menas lahariach ba. Ah, but even the lav, that's only lo sasu lachem. The lav is only if you make it for yourself. But if you make it in order to give to the tzibur, then it is, then it's not even a lav. The lav is even shelo al menas lahariach ba, but lemosro letzibur is not even a lav. So he says there's two different dinim. There's one, now the Rambam gives no hint of this. I don't think you could say this in the Rambam necessarily. The Rambam doesn't give a hint, there's two different madregas. You can say whatever you want, but he should have at least hinted there's two different lav. He says two different dinim. The lav is lo sasu lachem. If you make it for yourself and not for the tzibur, you chayv a lav no matter what. For the tzibur, you're potter, because that's a mitzvah. For yourself, it's a lav. You want to know if you're chayav karis? Even if you make it for yourself, you're not always chayav karis. Only for smelling, not for other purposes. However, the Aruch Lener says differently. The Aruch Lener says that it's really all one din. He also focuses on the idea that l'hariachba is said regarding the karis, and lachem is said regarding the lav. But the Aruch Lener says no. It's only one din. The din is l'hariachba. It's chayav shelo l'hariachba is potter. Why do you need lachem? You need lachem to extend that din to the lav also. From l'hariach, you would only have known karis. Lachem teaches you that l'hariach also applies to the lav. Right? So it's only one din. Lachem teaches us that even the lav is like the kares, meaning only applies almanas l'hariachba. Even the word lachem, that's not an independent drasha. Lachem is just extending l'hariachba from kares to the lav. And therefore, even though our Gemara says lachem, that's the same drasha as l'hariachba. Lachem is just extending the drasha of l'hariachba to the lav as well. That's lachem. It's only if you make it for your own purposes, l'hariachba, you're chayev. But if you make it not l'hariachba, you're potter. I know that's not the simplest shot in our Gemara. But these are sort of the two ways they're miyashiv Rashi. You could be miyashiv Rashi by saying that there's svei dinim. Our Gemara is discussing the din of the lav, and Rashi is discussing the din of the kares, and they're two totally different dinim. Or you could say, no, it's one unified din. L'hariachba really tells you what the boundaries of that din are. Lachem teaches you that whatever it says by kares also applies to the lav. And then he has two reasons why lachem alone wouldn't have been sufficient. And therefore, shalol l'hariachba your potter, and that's not a steer to our Gemara. If the Rambam really darshan l'hariachba, maybe he held like the Aruch Lener, that lachem is just an extension of l'hariachba, or maybe he argued on our Gemara for some reason. That I don't know.
In Shabbat, we say patur v'alasur. Is that always, whenever you say patur, it's always...
In Shabbat, patur v'alasur means it's also d'rabbanan. Here, we're discussing, here, even the lav is mechayiv malchus, meaning the lav is not patur v'alasur. The lav is patur mikari mechayiv malkot. Okay, the last thing I just wanted to point out on this sheet was, Rafi, I need your help here. The second classic problem with the mainstream shot. One problem with the mainstream shot is what shot on the Moser Letzibur, which we had three sort of, slight technical answers, and then the Rambam who totally changed the Moser Letzibur into something entirely different, and why? Obviously in order to answer this question. But how can he change it? So you have to say either like the Rav, like Jonathan wanted to say, or that he had a totally different tefisah, not the tefisah of lachem, the tefisah of l'hariachba. And what gives us the right to say he had a different tefisah than our Gemara? A, his language. B, Rashi says the same thing. And then what do you do with our Gemara? Either maybe Rambam Rashi had another source against our Gemara, or you try to fit in Rashi with our Gemara. Not the Aruch Chaim's way, it's Veidinim, because the Rambam gives no hint there's two different dinim, but the Aruch Lener's way. The second classic problem, this is I think what I said we would discuss first today, but I lied, was the minyan mitzvos. The second classic problem is the minyan mitzvos. This, everyone asks, the Rambam has a klal in the minyan mitzvos. You only count mitzvos towards the 613 if they apply the doros. But if making shemen a mishka, according to the Grizz, it applies to the Doros theoretically. According to Rav Yochai Perlman, this is one of his proofs. One of his proofs that when the Rambam discussed the mitzvah Shemana Mishcha, he never said it doesn't apply to the Doros. So, problem two is only, again, if you hold the mainstream shot, how can the Rambam count Asiyas Shemen HaMishcha as a mitzvah asay if it doesn't apply l'doros? Okay, that is a classic question, and basically one answer is, so it must apply l'doros, and, according to these pshatim, nicha, but according to this pshat, it's difficult, right? If you say it does apply to the doris, even theoretically, then I understand why we count it in the tzaseh. But if even theoretically it doesn't apply to the doris, v'ata, only Moshe was commanded to make Shemen HaMishcha, and no one else after Moshe died was commanded to make Shemen HaMishcha, then how could it be counted as a mitzvah tzaseh?
It's the grease.
So, the Grizz and the Rav here say the same thing. The Grizz gives two basic approaches to this. What are the two answers of the Grizz?
He said before the Grizz, no, theoretically
there is a... Ah, okay, then it works sense. That's the Grizz and Nafheim and Aleph would answer this nicely. But the Grizz and Nafheim and Beis works even without that. What if you don't hold this? What if you hold, like, the Rambam, or Rav Kafaf's Gersa in the Rambam, Perish Versailles Menachos, or maybe just the correct translation of the Rambam, Perish Versailles Menachos? What if you hold that, not like that Grizz? Right? What if you hold like Tosos and Most Achronim? How is it a mitzvah say? And Most Achronim say that even in the Rambam. So, l'chora, there are two answers, both given by the Grizz, both given by the Rav, and the Rav counts as three. He gives this Grizz, and the two other answers, the Grizz and Dafayim and Beis. So the Grizz, either he says it really does apply to the doors theoretically, or even if it doesn't, he gives two other answers. So what do you have to say? The two answers given by the Grizz and by the Rav and by all the Achronim are, you have to start being the Daif and the Lush of the Rambam. In the Rambam, the beginning of Kli HaMikdash, Perek Aleph, says, first he says there's a mitzvah. In the heading, he says, the Koteret, Lasso Shemana Mishcha. Then he says, Mitzvah Lasso Shemana Mishcha, Shiyamucham Ledvarm Shetricha Mishichabo. To make Shemana Mishcha, that it be prepared for anything that you need to be Moshech. Or in the Sefer HaMitzvos, at least in our translation, the Sefer HaMitzvos, that I took off the computer, he says, so the Sefer HaMitzvah says that we should have shemen. He doesn't say to make shemen. He says that we should have shemen. And even in the Mishnah Torah, he says, he starts out to make shemen, but then he says, that it should be ready. So number one, you could say that Al-Pi Sefer HaMitzvos Asei Lamed-Hei, This is the famous Minchas Chinuch in the beginning, and the actual, it deals with this, the first two mitzvahs, if I recall correctly, is the mitzvah to circumcise yourself or your kid, or to be circumcised, right? Is the mitzvah to do the maisa of cutting, or the mitzvah to have a bris milah, right? So there's a famous, already in the Rishonim, this is a brisker chakir, it's in the Rishonim, the Marach or Zeruah discusses this, and he says the mitzvah is not to do the cutting, the mitzvah is to have a bris milah. And that's why the Medrash says when David HaMelech went to the bathhouse and he first was depressed, he says, I don't have talus, I don't have fillin, I don't have Torah, I don't have kriyashma, I don't have any mitzvahs. Then he looked and saw he had a bris milah and he was happy. What do you mean? He wasn't doing the mitzvah bris milah then. No. The mitzvah is not the maisa, the way they call it nowadays, not the maisa of doing the bris milah, the totsah of having a bris milah. The Minchas Chinuch more famously says that the very first mitzvah, Pru Revu, says the mitzvah is not the maisa of Pru Revu. The mitzvah, it's a little unclear, like, what does it mean to do a maisa of Pru Revu anyway? We're all old enough to know what maisa is connected to Pru Revu, but there's no guarantee that, you know, to the best of my knowledge, with all of our modern technology, there's no guarantee that you can do any maisa that will necessarily lead to Pru Revu. It's really up to Shemayim. So what's the mitzvah? So the Minchas Chinuch says, well, it's not a maisa. The mitzvah totsah of, and he brings many, many rayos for that, but that's not our sugya now. There's some mitzvahs, so the mitzvah is not the maisa of doing it, the mitzvah is the totsah of having it.
That's the
gavra? No, I think maisa totsah it could be. You could call it chefza gavra. I think maisa totsah is just better words here. Says, if you look at the Lashon of Ram, at least in the Sefer Mitzvah, Sasei Lamed Hei, says, Sheyiyah Lanu. The mitzvah is not to make the Shemen HaMishcha, the mitzvah is to have the Shemen HaMishcha. Ah, if so, the mitzvah is to preserve, to keep the Shemen HaMishcha, then it makes a lot of sense. Only Moshe made the Shemen HaMishcha, but in every door we're commanded to have the Shemen HaMishcha. Oh, what does that mean practically? Practically it means to watch over the Shemen HaMishcha. But it's not the mitzvah is to watch it. The mitzvah, it's not every door we have the mitzvah watching over it. No, there's no mitzvah to watch over. Hold that thought. Every door, the mitzvah is to have the result of Shemen HaMishcha. And what do we need to do? In Moshe Rabbeinu's days, the maisa associated with Totsah was pitum. He had to make it. In our days, the maisa associated with that Totsah is just keeping an eye on it. Okay, but then the mitzvah is on Klal Yisrael, which turns into the Sanhedrin. The mitzvah is the Totsah
of having Shemen HaMishcha, not the Maisa of making Shemen HaMishcha. And that's also what the what the Aruch Liner says on our sugya, what the Aruch Liner says in our sugya as well. He says the mitzvah is to have the Shemen HaMishcha, and that's the one of the two, three answers of the Briska Rav, one of the two answers of the Briska Rav in one place, one of the three answers of the Rav, including all the Briska Rav. However, if you look a little further in the Sefer Mitzvos, it seems to be that maybe even that's not the mitzvah, because in the Shroshim to the Sefer Mitzvos, in the Shoresh, forget about the Shoresh of the Doros, the 10th Shoresh of the Rambam, the Shoresh of the Sefer Mitzvah is basically the rules of what counts, what doesn't, the ground rules. That you only count the final mitzvah, not the Hechsher mitzvah, not preparing a mitzvah. Meaning you don't count building a sukkah, you count dwelling in a sukkah. You don't count, he has a lot of other examples there, you don't count tying the tzitzis, you count wearing the tzitzis, bonagid. You don't count writing tefillin, you count wearing tefillin. All these classic examples. So the Rambam writes there, what's one of his examples? Interestingly, the Rambam writes there explicitly, one of his examples, Val derech hazeh lo yimana amru kach lechos amim, vol yimana haktoris kores leyom. We don't count making the ketores, we count being makriv of the ketores. And likewise, he says, V'chein kach lecha besamim rosh lo yimana. We don't count making the Shemen HaMishcha. We count anointing with the Shemen HaMishcha. That clearly applies to the Doros. Even though we only now anointed the Mishkan Mekalim in the time of the Chumash, anointing the Lachim Kohanim Gadolim applies to the Doros. And we happen to not have it nowadays, but that's not a problem, because when Mashiach comes, we'll have it again. So says the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Shoresh Yud, says the mitzvah is not making the Shemen HaMishcha, but using the Shemen HaMishcha. If the mitzvah is using the Shemen HaMishcha, not making the Shemen HaMishcha, then Pasha that applies throughout the Doros. This is clear in the Sefer HaChinuch as well. The Sefer HaChinuch, fascinatingly, you know how the Sefer HaChinuch works. Like, he has his parts. He first summarizes the mitzvah, then gives the philosophy on the mitzvah, then some details of the mitzvah, then when and where it applies, the technical boundaries of the mitzvah. But in the beginning, he always has a title for the mitzvah. The Sefer HaChinuch's title for the mitzvah is, did I put it here? Maybe not. But his title is Limshoach Kohanim U'Melachim Mishemen HaMishcha. That's his title for the mitzvah. Then he says you have to make Shemen HaMishcha. But like, okay, then you have to make Shemen HaMishcha. But the title is to anoint the kings and the Kohanim Gedolim from the Shemen HaMishcha. So that seems to work well with how this approach. The mitzvah is not making the Shemen HaMishcha. The mitzvah is using the Shemen HaMishcha. Now, this is mefurish in the Shurashim, Sefer Mitzvos. It fits mitzvah seilam and hey also. Sheyeh lanu shemen also yal matkonam yuchedet muchan mushoch v'chon gadol sheyitmaneh v'chin yimshcho k'tat melachim. He's not saying the mitzvah is to have the oil. The mitzvah is to have the oil and use it whenever we need. In the Mishnah Torah, it's a little trickier because it says mitzvah say la'asot shemen hamishcha. The mitzvah say is to make the shemen hamishcha. And likewise by the Ketoret, the Rambam says, or no, by the Ketoret he doesn't say that. He says, he doesn't say here, what? Correct. By the Torah, it's okay. By the Shemen HaMishcha, he says, Mitzvah say la'asot Shemen HaMishcha sheyemuchan ledvarim shetzrichan mishichabo shenerma v'yasito so Shemen HaMishcha kodesh ve'gomer. Right? So what about, in the Sefer Mitzvos, it seems pretty clear, the mitzvah l'dor is to use the Shemen HaMishcha, not to make the Shemen HaMishcha. In the Mishnah Torah, you either have to say, no, forget it, he changed his mind. In Mishnah Torah, he holds differently. You could say he changed his mind in Mishnah Torah differently from the Sefer Mitzvot. Or you have to say, even in Mishnah Torah, he really meant the mitzvah is to use the Shemen HaMishcha. And as he says, she emuchon ledvorim tzitrichim mishicha bo. Why didn't you just say to make Shemen HaMishcha? Why does he have to make Shemen HaMishcha? As of that, it'll be ready to use for things you need to anoint.
The answer is the real mitzvah is to use it for anointing. The reason he says it here is because perhaps you could say that in the Mishnah Torah, he doesn't only count the essential final kiyum of the mitzvah. In the Mishnah Torah, he describes the mitzvah starting from the beginning. He had to say when he introduces the mitzvah in the mitzvah Torah, Mishnah Torah, he's starting from the beginning of the mitzvah, not from the final kiyum of the mitzvah. And the beginning of the mitzvah is to make the Shemen HaMishcha. There's a famous Netziv who says even preparatory stages towards the mitzvah, when they're mentioned in the Chumash, they're part of the mitzvah, you just haven't been mekayim it yet.
So methodologically, that means you're teaching us that the Rambam wanted us to look at all of his works as one total unity in order to furnish that shot.
Or he wanted us to read Mitzvah Laso Shemana Mishcha, Sheyia Muchan Ledvorm Shatricha Meshicha Bo Shenemar, etc. Why do you need Sheyia Muchan? Means you're not really making the mitzvah until you use it. But yeah, methodologically, probably you'd have to say it's going together. So, I mean, again.
Is that Muskam al Kol? Is that the intention?
Not. It's a little hard to say. It's hard to say the Rambam thought the Mishnah Torah was missing anything, I must admit. It's hard to say the Rambam thought the Mishnah Torah was missing anything.
That
he writes before us. Yeah, he writes before us the Mishnah Torah is not missing anything.
How do you understand? How did the Rav learn? Did he look at them that one needed the other?
The Rav did not look at the Sefer Mitzvahs here. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to leave that as a question. It's a great question. I'm not sure what the answer is. You have to say, maybe the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah also meant this. That's clearly what the Rav was suggesting it. And Asiyat HaShemen is just the beginning of the mitzvah, but not the Kiyum. The Kiyum of the mitzvah is to use the Shemen HaMishcha. But the Asiyah is the beginning of the mitzvah. And therefore, it applies Ledorot, because the first step of the process was only in the old days of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it continues Ledorot. Okay, the Mishnah Torah would have sounded that on its own, and again, it is hard to say the Rambam meant for you to read it all together, but if you do put it together, then it sounds like maybe you could say it a little more as a pshara. The mitzvah includes both the asiyah and the meshicha. In which case, you can't be asiyah as the mitzvah. And the meshicha is also part of the mitzvah. Maybe there's an extended kiyum. Okay, kitzer, what we've seen now is what's the mitzvah? We thought the mitzvah was to make Shemen HaMishcha. That's what it sounded like. That the mitzvah is to make Shemen HaMishcha. That's what it sounds like in the pasuk. Right? That's the only commandment. And that's what sounds like the Rambam Mishnah Torah, at least. And even the Sefer HaMitzvos more or less sounds like that in Mitzvah Seh Lamed Hei. However, then we have this problem with the Doros. So either say it does apply to the Doros theoretically, or it does apply to the Doros really. These are all Bedas HaRambam. The Rebbe Shmuel Church of Perlo is also saying that's the Rambam Shaf. Or if you really hold that only Moshe Rabbeinu could make it, and yet it's a mitzvah ledoros, you have to say either the mitzvah ledoros is the totsah, not the maaseh, or the mitzvah ledoros is the meshicha, and not just the asiyah. The asiyah maybe is the beginning of the mitzvah, but it's not the culmination of the mitzvah. So that's not clear. It could be that you make a birkat hamitzvah even when you don't have the full culmination of the kiyum hamitzvah. Mm-hmm. That's a machlokas rishonim. Look at Tosos and Psachim Daf. Yeah, or better, there's a machlokas rishonim. If you eat maror first with kavanah not to be yotzei and later with kavanah to be yotzei, do you make the bracha the first time or the second time? Machlokas and Tosos, maybe Daf Kuf Yudim Psachim, someplace in the Kufs in Psachim. So that gets more complex. Mm-hmm. And also look at the Rav's confusion on Sfiras Omer. Okay, not for now. Let's just continue a little in the Gemara. Then says the Gemara, here we are. Tana Rabbanan. Shemen HaMishcha. What's the ingredients? Mar dror is chamesh meos. Kida is chamesh meos. Kinemon besem is chamesh meos. Uknei bosem is chamishim masayim. Nimtzu kulam elef hashiv meos v'chamishim. 1750 mana. Okay, that's explicit in the Chumash, except one part which needs interpretation. Tanam and Yadakam Ashalom, what?
The Tana needs to teach us how to add. We don't know how to add 500, 500, 500, and 250 on our own. No. Tana, the Tana is trying to teach the Chiddush. He had a kasha. Ema k'nei bosem k'nei mabesem. Ma k'nei bosem machzisho chamishim mosayim. Af k'nei bosem machzisho chamishim mosayim. Dehavali train alfin. What did the Torah say? V'yachtach al-chab sevim rosh mar dror chamesh meyos. Great. B'k'nei mabesem machzisho chamishim umasayim. Uknei vosem chamishim asayim. V'kida chamesh meyos. Okay, kida is chamesh meyos, fine. Mar dror is chamesh meyos, fine. Kinim and Besem Machatziso Chamishim Masayim. You could have interpreted the pasuk differently. I bet the King James translates differently. But we say it means half of the Kinim and Besem is 250, meaning you need 500 Kinim and Besem. Then it says Kinim Bosem 250. So you might have thought the Kinim Bosem also means half of it is 250, but you need 500, and then it's a total of 2,000. Kamashal, no. Kinim and Besem, half of it is 250, meaning you need 500. But Kinim Bosem, you mamish only need 250. Maybe Taka, you would think that you need 500 of each. Then it should have said, Kinim Bosem and Kinim Bosem, half of each of them is 250. Why say Kinim Bosem, half of it is 250, but Kinim Bosem is 250? To show you, Kinim Bosem, only half of it is 250, because it's 500, but Kinim Bosem is exactly 250. When he measures, does he tilt or is it exactly even? Remember they used to have those scales with two things on each side. You put a weight on one side. So you put a 500 weight. How do you measure? There were two minhagim of measuring in ancient times. There was the way of measuring of you got it exactly tilted, or you added a little to the merchandise to tilt exactly even, to tilt the merchandise a little heavier to make sure that you were giving enough. So that's called hechreya. Literally, hechra means you tilt the scale. So do you have to tilt the scale or get it exactly 50-50? So, the Rishonim and Chumash argue in the ancient times, what was the minhag of how they measure? They try to bring all kinds of evidence, but let's assume that in ancient times, many people measure things with a hachra. And sometimes you can measure things exactly. So which way did the Torah mean? It's very rare to have weights in the Torah, right? Most things in the Torah are not by weight, they're by volume. Right? The log and the hin and the isaron, those are, and the epha, those are all volumes. Weight in the Torah is very rare. Basically, at least explicitly in the Torah, only the Shemana Mishka is the only thing where the Torah says weight and not volume. So, how do you weigh? We want to know. So, Amar Le, Rachmana Kasav Bad Bevad, Viat Amrat Bechreya. The Torah says Bad Bevad, even to even, unit to unit. So the Torah says, exactly, how can you say you have to make the scales tilt and add a little more? So they say, no. But Rav Yehuda says, Hashem knows the achros. So that shows there are achros. So Abaye said, Vad Vad meant there are achros. But Rav Yehuda said that there are achros, because Hashem knows the achros. What does it mean, Hashem knows the achros? Like, Hashem knows everything. That's not what they're saying here, right? What does it mean Hashem knows the hachros? So here it's a little unclear. Rashi says, you don't have to measure the hachros. Hashem knows how much they measure. The achron are unclear what Rashi means. What Rashi, it seems like this. Rashi says, you don't have to know the exact weight of the hachros. As long as Hashem knows the exact weight of the hachros, that's good enough. Like, don't have a havamina that you have to have an exact weight for hachros and taka know the shear of hachra. No, it's okay. As long as Hashem knows the shear of achra, we don't have to know the exact measurement of point whatever grams the hachra is.
Why didn't we have to know? The idea of hachra is that you should be sure that it's...
Right, so I think what Rashi is saying is, again, the chiddush is not that Hashem knows. Hashem knows everything. Hashem knows, you know, how I tied my shoes this morning. Right, but it means that we don't have to know. That's the chiddush. Yehuda says, it's enough that God knows everything. You have to know certain things, like 500 and 250. You don't have to know the hachra. Okay, but that shows there is achra. The Shittim Getz brings two other pshatim. Either means Hashem knows to give schar to those who do achros. Meaning achra is a big inyan. What does achra mean? Achra means we don't do even business with God. We're always mevater to Hashem. I mean the achra is here being viewed as symbolic. What's the schar of achra? It's just a tiny achra. What's the big schar? No, the answer is it symbolizes. It's like there's a difference between someone who learns 100 times and learns 101 times. Right? Meaning there's a difference between doing what you got to do versus really wanting to serve Hashem in the best way possible. Hachra means, no, I really want to serve Hashem in the best way possible. I don't want to be yotzim obligation. It's not like taxes, where I want to pay exactly what I owe, no more, no less. b'mikra tov. No. This is avodas Hashem. I want to give to Hashem as much as I can. So therefore, you get a special schar. The other pshat that Shitin Gvetzes brings is that Hashem knows that the Jews are always machri on his behalf. Again, Hashem knows how Jews worship Hashem, that they always give machra. Why didn't Hashem have to say achra in the Chumash? Because Hashem knows how Jews worship him, and they always want to give achra. Okay, so the three pshatim, what he means, either it means we don't have to know the amount, Rashi, or the Shittim that says, or Hashem gives us schar, or that Hashem knows what holy people the Jews are.
So I don't understand something basic with this. If the amounts are supposed to be exact, and then if somebody is machri and he's adding to the amounts, then it's like some kind of mistake just in the chemical composition.
No, but if you say that the Torah meant for us to be machriya,
but you're never going to be exact.
It doesn't matter. That's what the Torah said. The Torah says plus achra.
You never get into a problem.
Yeah, but that's exactly what Rashi's addressing. Oh, we don't know what a achra is. How does that mean? The answer is God knows what it is, and that's what he wanted. Hashem wanted achra.
The achra can be that if you're careful, you end up with the same achra in each amount. Same way, you add another 5 grams in each one, you have hakros, and your ratios turn out the same.
Right, but even if you don't, I think it's okay. Now, by the way, the brisker rav here implies a little chakira that the rav discussed, which I'm not getting into now. Is a hakra a din in the shir, that when the Torah says 500, it really means 500 plus hakra? Or is it a din in the maiser shkila, that when the Torah says to weigh, the way you have to weigh is weighing with hakra? That's an interesting chakira, but we're not going to get into that now. Let's go on. The Torah says, so we see there is such thing as achra. Ela am Rav Yehuda, the kinnaman besem, amai maisi, mechtishu, the chomish meos, chamishim, umasayim bechadzimna, chamishim usayim bechadzimna, came to kulu heimeyes, havi, naisi heimeyes basachas. Shema minah, but the kinnaman, the kinnaman besem, betrays him, the achra, ispul, bekadosh baruch, yodea, be, hachro. So rather, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? How do I know this hachros? It says bad bevad. Why am I saying Hashem knows hachros? Because the Torah says to bring 500 kinman besim, but 250 at a time. Why doesn't it just say kinman besim chamish meos? Why does it say machtziso chamish rosayim? Say you bring 250 and another 250. By mardror and kida, you just bring 500 and weigh it at once. By kinman besim, you weigh 250 and weigh another 250. What's the difference? Why don't you bring 500? It must be because there's a hachra, and Hashem wanted us to bring more dror, 500 plus one hachra. Kida, 500 plus one hachra. But kinman besem, 500 plus two hachros. That's why we weigh it twice. So there'll be two hachros instead of one hachra. So that shows there's hachra. Otherwise, there's no point in bringing it half at a time. But if there's hachra, there's a point. Because Hashem wanted a little more kinman besem than more dror and kida. So we have two hachros. Then what does bad bevad mean? My bad bevad, a ravina shalinech, mishkol v'mishkol v'yishkol. Not to put a weight in a weight and weigh. Vad bevad means to weigh against a single weight and not against a double weighing. What does that mean? So that's machlokes. The Shita Mekubetzes and Rabbi Gershom say it means to use only one weighing stone or metal, one weight and not two weights. Like you might have thought, let me make a weight of 250 and then I'll put two of them to measure the marjor and one of them to measure the kinnaman besim and the kinnaman bosim. No. Then that's what people do in regular stores in the old days. They would have weights that you would just add up. They would have, if they wanted to weigh up to a kilo, they would have four 250-gram weights. It says, no, here, bad bevad, one-to-one, you have to use one weight and not put two weights together. Or, Rashi's shot is, you have to weigh once and not twice, meaning you have to weigh each thing against the weighing stone, the weight, or metal, or whatever it was. You might have thought, let me weigh the marjor against the 500, and then the kida against the marjor. Right. And then it would be a double weighing, because you're weighing against something that was weighed. Kamash will know you have to weigh each thing against the weight. Okay, that's the din of bad bevad. The brisker rav actually points out that he thinks there might be a svara for Rashi's pshat in bad bevad. Why can't I weigh the marjor against the kida against the marjor, the marjor against the kida? He says, because if you take the tzad of the chakira, the hechreya is a din in the shkila, every maisa shkila needs hechreya, which means then the marjor has to be more than the kida, or the kida has to be more than the marjor. But the Torah wants them to be the same. Maybe that's the chiddush of bad bevad. Again, that's if you assume it's a din in the maisa shkila. If it's just a din in the shir, you're going to hechra for the marjor, and then make the kida even.
The brisker quotes that from his son.
From his son, the grid, but not this grid.
Cousin.
The grid's cousin, the grid. Yes. Okay, continuing in the Gemara, What?
Okay,
you have to work it out. I'm sure they figured it out in those days. Tanur Rabbanan. Shemen HaMish was also most minimum Mishkolo Mishalko HaIkrin. It says Shemen Zayis Hin. You use a hin of Shemen Zayis. Anyone know how much a hin is in modern day measurements? How much is a hin? A hin is a tinker truck or a hin I can fit in my pocket? The answer is neither. A hin is about a gallon. A hin is about a gallon.
What's a gallon?
A hin is a four and a half liters. I don't mean four and a half. I mean 4 point something liters, right? So it's not a ton of oil, right? Think a hin is 12 log. I hope I got this right. A log is four reviuses, right? We use a revius a log, right? So if we assume me'ikar adin, like Rav Chaim Na, that a revius is 86, then a log is about about a third of a liter. 12 of those are a little more than 4 liters, right? So it's 4 liters. It's not a lot. It's like a gallon jug of milk, a little bigger, if you remember from the old days. I don't think they sell anything in 4 liter jugs in Israel. But it's not a lot. So he says you would, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you would use that as the oil to cook all these roots, all these herbs. Now, the herbs weighed 1,750 money. That's a lot. That's like a whole big crate of, a whole big truck full of herbs that you cook in a gallon of 4.5 liter or 4.2 or whatever liter of oil. That's a little funny. So, Ramli reveals a lot of ingredients in Sipek. Not only is that not enough to cook the herbs, you couldn't even smear the herbs with it. It's nothing. It's klum. So, Kate said, Osis, rather what do you do? Hey, viewer Ikrim Mishalkun. You first cook the herbs separately in mayim, in water. The hates of Alim Shemen, and then Kates Machluk is whether you put Shemen on the water or Shemen on the Ikrim, but it doesn't really matter that much. But basically, we'll go with Rashi. Rashi says that you then throw out the water, but now they're waterlogged, so they can't absorb anymore. So now when you put the oil on the herbs, on the besamim, they won't absorb it. The Rambam says differently. You then throw out the besamim and all the smell goes into the water, and you now put the oil on the water and boil out the water and the herbs absorb. Well, I think the Rambam's shot probably works better. Right, you put them in the water, cook them till they have no smell, all the smell goes into the water, then put oil on the water and boil out the water till all the smell goes into the oil.
So the mace only starts after it's never used up, only starts after it's made?
According to him, yes. The heat of a lame shemen, you put shemen on top, mishcha v'kolad as a reach, and that absorbs the reach, v'kipcho, and then you take it off. Amar lo Rav Yehuda, so v'chineis echad, so he says Rav Yehuda's got to be wrong. You can't cook it in 4.5 liters of oil. V'chineis echad, as v'chineis echad, says you can with a miracle, right? And you're going to say, mehechitation is a miracle. Say, what do you mean? Mela, there's already a miracle. If I'm inventing a miracle, I have no right to invent a miracle. If there's already 8 miracles and I just throw in another one, then it's mistaber, right? I think there's only one nace fellow, nisim harbi nasim, which close about sofo. There's a lot of nisim, tchilas lohayel yud beis log. It started only 12 log, which is the hen. Uvo nimshach ha-mishman kelev ha-arun avonim kol shivish me'ami luem, which took a lot of oil. Uvo nimshach ha-kohanim gedolim ulachim throughout the generations. V'kulu kaim lasim lovo, and it's all there, none of it's gone. Not just, it's not used up. It's not even missing any. It's still a hin. It's still 12 log. Shenemar shem nishchas rosh yeh zeh li l'dor teichem. Zeh begematria yud beiz lugin havya. Zeh is gematria of 12, which means all 12 log will be there l'doros. So we used up so much of it, and it's like Hanukkah, right? Or like Elisha and the widow. However much we used, it's still full. So Mela, if that miracle happened, then why couldn't the miracle also happen? They could boil a truckload of besamim in one big milk jug full of oil. What? How much is the money?
It's 1,750 shekel, right?
What?
It's 1,750 shekel.
Okay, you're right. It would be shekel, not money. Fair enough. So what's 1,750 shekel? Okay, 10 kilo? 10 kilo, how much? Hold on, besamim are not very dense. 10 kilo of besamim is a ton. No? I don't know. Okay, figure it out. Okay, he's going to work out the math for us. He's right, it wasn't money, it was shkalim, Rashi says. That's obviously in the Torah discussion. Shkolim, okay, you'll work out the math for us and come back and tell us who was right. But it seems like everyone agreed that it wasn't enough oil, right? They just argued whether it was a miracle or not. Okay, let me just go one more minute so I can say I started the new Makorah sheet. The Gemara continues on Daf Heyam and Veis. Tanur Rabban, Vayikach Moshe Hashem and Mishcha, Vayimshach as a Mishkan, etc. Yehuda Omer Hashem and Mishcha, Shasa Moshe Midbar Harbi Nisim Nasabo. The same Rabbi Yehuda says, right, that the art, this is the same Rabbi Yehuda says, the Hashem and Mishcha Moshe made a lot of miracles happen to. It only started with 12 log. Kama Yor Balas, how much gets absorbed in the pot? Kama Ikrim Bolu, how much gets absorbed in the herbs? Kama Or Sarif, how much gets evaporated by the fire? Uvonim Shav Mishkan, Caleb Aaron, Bottom Kol Zayim Meimilu, and they Minmoshek every Kli of the Mishkan, and the whole Mishkan, and Aaron, and his four sons for 7 days in Miluin, Uvonim Shav Kohen Gedolim Lachim, and subsequently all the Kohen Gedolim Lachim, Vafilo Kohen Gedolim and Kohen Gedolim called Mashiach, even the Kohen Gedol, son of another Kohen Gedol, needs Mashiach. The Ein Moshek Melech Ben Melech, but a Melech, the son of another Melech, does not need Mashiach. So why did they anoint Shlomo? He was the son of David. Because Adoniyahu was arguing with him, as we know from the beginning of Sefer Melachim, so they had to anoint him. Yehoash, why did they anoint Yehoash? Mifnei, it says in the pasuk, Natalia, because Natalia didn't want him to be the king, thought he should be killed and she should stay queen. Ves Yehoachas, why did they anoint Yehoachas? Because his brother Yoyakim was 2 years older than him, and he passed over the Bechor and went to the younger Yehoachas, so they had to anoint him. Amar Marva Filo Kohen Gadol and Kohen Gadol told Mashiach Minol. And how do we know Kohen Gadol, son of another Kohen Gadol, needs Mashiach? Dechseva Kohen Mashiach Tachto Mibanav. Says the Kohen who's anointed in his place from his sons, which shows even if it's from his sons, still has to be anointed. Neima Krav Kohen Shtachto Mibanav. It should have just said the Kohen who takes over from his sons. Maya Mashiach. Why did it say he's anointed? Akamashlam the Filo Mibanav. How do Mashiach Habi Kohen Gadol? Even if it's the son of the previous Kohen Gadol, if you anoint him, he counts as a Kohen Gadol. Vilo Mashiach Lo Habi Kohen Gadol. But if he doesn't, is not anointed, then he does not count as a Kohen Gadol. Amar Rav Moshe Melech ben Melech. But the king's son is different. He doesn't need anointing. Minolan, how do we know? Amar Rav Achav, Rav Yaakov, the Sidlaman, Yarech Yom HaMachto, Hu Vanav, that it says the king should have a long life in his kingship, he and his sons. Yerushahi, that it is a Yerusha from him to his sons. So here, just an interesting discussion, the Achronim, this will end. It's Darshan the Pesukim, Kohen Gadol ben Kohen Gadol, because it says Mashiach. And the king, son of a king, it just says Hu Vanav. But why is it that, like, what's the svar behind this? Why would the Torah say the Kohen Gadol's son who takes over needs anointing, while the king's son who takes over does not need anointing? Is a very valid question. And here we have two main approaches in the Mefarshim. The Brisker Rav says very cryptically, in the Chiddush HaGriz, what does he say very cryptically? Why does the Kohen Gadol need anointing but the king not? If they start out, they both need anointing. But if they take over their father, then the Kohen Gadol doesn't need anointing and the king does. Why? That's not what the Brisker Rav says, though. So that's what the Meiri says. The Brisker Rav says, because his lashon is very unclear, the Minoy does not need anointing. Meaning, if you take over for your father, then you're appointed. However, the Cheftz of Kohen Gadol needs Mashiach. Meaning the king only needs Mashiach to appoint him. And if he inherits it, he's appointed. But the Kohen Gadol, besides being appointed, to do the avodah, the Kohen Gadol, he needs to have Mashiach. The Brisker Rav doesn't use this word, but I think it's obvious what he means is this. The king's Mashiach is just to appoint him. But if he inherits it, then he's already appointed. The Kohen Gadol's Mashiach is not just to appoint him. The Kohen Gadol's Mashiach is to mekadesh him. After all, Hechos Kleah Mikdash V'al Ovdim Bo, the Kohen Gadol is one of the Ovdim and Mikdash, he needs to have a higher level of Kedusha. So it's fine that he inherited the job from his father. That's the appointment. It's very nice that he inherited the appointment for his father. But what about the Kedusha? What makes him Kadosh so that he's able to accomplish certain tasks in the Mishkan that a regular Kohen is not allowed, in the Mikdash that a regular Kohen is not? So the higher level of Kedusha needs Mashiach.
So the Rav writes in the beginning of his Chiddushim on Yom the week before Yom Kippur elevates the Kohen Gadol to the status of Aaron.
So that would have to be a higher elevation. Ah, you'll ask, so what is this a level of elevation necessary for? So it could be that's the question whether the week of Kohen Gadol is, it may be if you hold that week is not ma'akev, then that's only alechachila, or maybe for other things, for chavite, I mean, for chavite, Kohen Gadol, for Anyway, Lemaisa, the way the Brisker Rav sees it is that really the Yerusha works either way. But the Kohen Gadol needs to be a Heftza of Kedusha. Therefore, in order to be Mekadesh him so that he is kosher to do things only Kohen Gadol could do in the Mikdash, he needs an anointment. The Avnei Nezer gives a creative answer. He says, because you can't really have a proper Yerusha of Kohen Gadol. Why? When the king dies, he's not the king anymore. So his son is Yorish. When a Kohen Gadol dies, he's still the Kohen Gadol. He suggests, this is the Hasidic side of the Avnei Nezer, that even when he dies, he goes up to Shemayim and he serves as Kohen Gadol in the base Mikdash Shamala. But on a more halachic level, he says, it's a halacha, that if the Kohen Gadol dies, his estate has to bring the Minchas Chavitin every day. Why does his estate have to? That shows that he's still, even after he dies, he's still called the Kohen Gadol. Says that's why you need a Kohen Gadol and Kohen Gadol, because his father's still the Kohen Gadol until they replace him. You can be a dead Kohen Gadol, you can't be a dead Melech. You can be a dead former Melech. But, okay, that's maybe a little too Hasidish, perhaps. But the simple pshat is what the Meiri says in Horius.
Rebbes, right? You figure it's something he's
yes.
talking about the
yes.
Rebbes.
The, but, however, the Meiri in Horius gives a very fundamental pshat. This sugya appears in Horius as well, which means you have a Meiri. You don't have many Rishonim. Horius doesn't help you that much. It doesn't have many Rishonim. But you have Meiri. That's the Revach of Horius above Krisos, the Meiri. Other than that, you left the same few Mepharshim. But the Meiri says, fascinating, he says, no. There's Yerusha by Melech. There's no Yerusha by Kohen Gadol. A Melech yarshins his post to his son. We'll see, the Rav discusses that in great length. You inherit the kingship from your father. Your father is bible son the kingship that he passes down to you. That's he has the right to this kingship and he passes it down. There's a din l'chachila to appoint the son of the Kohen Gadol. I'm adding some words to me. There's a din that the son of the Kohen Gadol has a difus before anyone else to be appointed Kohen Gadol. But he doesn't automatically inherit the Kohen Gadolah. It's just a factor of Kedima. What makes him Kohen Gadol? If he's Hagon, if he's the most proper person, we appoint him. So we give Kedima to the son of Kohen Gadol, but you can't Yarshin Kohen Gadolah. You can't Yarshin Kohen Gadolah. You can have a certain Zechus Kedima, but you don't Yarshin Kohen Gadolah. Therefore, of course he needs Mashiach, because he's not automatically a Kohen Gadol. He just is a preferred candidate. He's a preferred candidate. But it's not something you can yarshin. This is actually very fascinating because this ties into a big issue which I don't think we're going to get into. If you want, I gave you some Mar Makoms in the literature of the Shut. Do you yarshin rabbinical positions or not?
Oh, yeah.
You should know, Rosh Hashiva, Rav, do you inherit rabbinical positions or not? So this is very unclear. The Chassam Sofer, who is really the main voice against rabbinical inheritance, starts with a little bit with our sugya. He says, he doesn't start with this Meiri. I don't know if he had a copy of the Meiri. I'm fairly certain he didn't have a copy of the Meiri.
The other Sofers did.
But, yeah, obviously. But the Chassam Sofer writes, no, a Melech is a political position. He yarshins power to his son. You don't yarshin spiritual leadership to your son. That's a matter of Hagun. That's a matter of who's fitting for the job. Now, there might be a certain Zechus Kedima. Then he discusses, who has this Zechus Kedima? Maybe the Kohen Gadol loves, maybe the rabbi doesn't, maybe how does that Zechus Kedima weigh up against other factors? But this is a very, very fundamental sugya for a whole issue we're not going to go into now because we don't have time in the shut of the Achronim for rabbinical inheritance. You know, Ad Hayom Azed, this is one of the big issues. It's not a big political issue, but it's a big practical issue. Yeshivas die because they yarshin it to the kids who are not good Rosh Yeshiva. And Hasiduses live. Even when they yarshin it to the kids who are not good at morim, not sure why that works. In one case, not in another case. And shuls have big fights over, you know, with the claim of the son or the son-in-law or the grandson or the previous rav, etc., to take over. This is a big issue. So I think this really comes down to our sugya. The way the Brisker Rav looks at it, There's an equal Yerusha both ways. It's just that the Kohen Gadol needs more than Yerusha. He needs to be Niskadesh Bechefza. The way that Abdenezer looks at it, there would be an equal Yerusha both ways, except that the Kohen Gadol is Rav Nachman Breslev, and he can be Rebbe even after his death until they appoint someone else. And that way he's not Rav Nachman. But the way the Meiri looks at it, no, there's a fundamental difference. Political power is a bailus that you can yarshin. Spiritual leadership is a responsibility. It also comes with power and kavod, but it's a responsibility that you cannot yarshin. You can have a zchus kedima. No one's saying that there's not the modern world free of nepotism where we don't care whose son you are. We do care whose son you are as a factor, but that doesn't mean it's something you can own. That just means that it's a factor we take into account when deciding who should take over. And even if it's a powerful factor, it's not a din in you that you yarchin it. It's a din in us that we have to make a decision based on certain factors that the Torah tells us.
Why doesn't the melech have to be a boon?
What?
Why doesn't the melech have to be a
boon? It's a good question. And my answer would be that maybe the melech does have to be hagun. But the melech yarchins, there could be a deposing of a melech who's not hagun. At least according to this answer. According to this answer, okay, but maybe we'll pick up with that. The melech yarshins, maybe he can be deposed or not chosen if he's not hagun, but be korona yarshins. The melech owns his kingdom and can pass it on to his sons. The Kohen Gadol doesn't own the mikdash. That's just a matter of yichus is worth something in halacha. But it's not something he owns, and therefore he needs Mashiach. Okay, we'll pick up with this in Meretz Hashem. Next time, reminding you, there are only two more Shirim this year, next week, and then after Tisha B'Av, we don't want to violate Bal Tosif by continuing to learn Torah, so we will break until Rosh Chodesh Elul.